From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. Let's start with a bit of breaking news. NBC is reporting that President Trump will declare a national emergency, and we are expecting a press conference at noon, and that will allow for more direct relief for coronavirus response across the country. Again, Cap Radio will carry that press conference at noon, which is sliding our coronavirus special to a little later in the afternoon. I'll let you know the exact time when we're able to pin that down. As of today, Friday, March 13th, there are 252 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in California. You might know that New York has more, 328, and Washington State has the most right now with 457. There are three states that have no cases yet, Idaho, Alabama, and West Virginia. But even those states have private labs ready to go for testing. On the subject of testing, here's a little more perspective. About 11,000 people in the United States have been tested for COVID-19. This is since the outbreak began. But South Korea is testing 10,000 people per day. And I found and have linked for you a background article that is more about how and when a South Korean company started developing its own test kits very early on. It's a very interesting read. You can find it at capradio.org/insight. So, the U.S. has been slow in the process of testing. I'm going to start there with the Sacramento County Director of the Department of Health Services, Dr. Peter Bielenson. And Dr. Bielenson, I'm glad to have you back on Insight, especially on this day. So thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I want to ask you to be very free and blunt and straightforward about the impact in our region of this gap or lack, or some people call it a catastrophe, in testing?
So we had originally about 20 test kits to use per day, which actually serve about 10 people, because you usually use two swabs, an oropharyngeal, a mouth and pharynx, and a nasopharyngeal, a nose and pharynx test. So you usually use two swabs per test. So we basically were able to test 10 people a day. That's now up to about 25 to 30 people a day. But because of the lack of testing, two things have happened. First of all, we would have been doing much more containment. In other words, put quarantining folks who had tested positive, who had been exposed to someone who tested positive, if we had had more tests to be done, and be able to do the contact tracing that goes with that, where you trace the contacts of patients or of people who have been exposed. So because we didn't have the testing available, we've not been able to do the kind of quarantine that we wanted to do. And so we switched to a mitigation strategy, which is where we're trying to reduce the spread of the virus to those who are most at risk from the virus, which are seniors and people with chronic underlying conditions.
Explain more, though, about what we've missed in identifying cases. I think this speaks to where the virus is growing or where there might be clusters.
Right. So if we were able to test all comers, if you will, we would have been able to identify people who are asymptomatic or mildly symptomatic and been able to trace their contacts more efficiently and try and quarantine people who were exposed to them, because we didn't have the test, we didn't know who was positive. So that's why we've had to go towards the mitigation strategy. We've actually had to triage the people that we test to two groups: those who are healthcare workers who have been exposed to people with the infection for obvious reasons, not just because we want to keep the healthcare workers online so they can treat people, but because if they were exposed to someone who has the virus, obviously we want them to be removed from care. And also for seniors and those with significant conditions that have serious symptoms, we're also trying to remove them, to test them as quickly as possible. But that leaves a lot of other people, obviously, who want to get tested, who can't get tested.
Governor Newsom said a lot this week about test kits and incomplete test kits, no reactants, not the right components. What was the specific situation in Sacramento County? And again, I know you're going back to that number of 20 kits a day. Were those complete kits?
So they were, that's correct, and we're now up to about 25 to 30 people per day being tested, but obviously that's not enough.
Dr. Bielenson, I know you are aware of the growing anger across the country, sort of that appalling sense of the gap and the bigness of the gap. A lot of this fell to the counties across the country who needed to directly test, as you're describing. You're being very specific and matter of fact about your information, but there is going to be a huge amount of criticism leveled and I think outrage as it becomes more clear how far behind we fell. In that sense, can you give me your response at how you feel as a public health leader in this region and being put in the situation that the county was?
Yeah, so one of the issues is the guidance that we get from the CDC, and the guidance that we get is limited by what they can send us, right? Their ability to follow the guidance is related to how much they give us the tests, et cetera. And so the fact that the single thing that's most outrageous, frankly, is the South Korean number. I think it's actually 15,000, but you may be right about 10,000. But they've been able to do immediate or extremely rapid testing for 10 to 15,000 people per day. And there haven't even been that many approximately that have been tested in the entire United States. So it ties our hands behind our backs. And for example, we've only been able to test about 100 people so far in Sacramento County, right? Because we've been doing it for two to three weeks, 20 to 25 people per day, times, 10 days or 14 days, whatever. And so we're really behind the eight ball.
So what do you think the scope of this is now in the county? What's your sort of gut feeling about what's already happened?
So because of what I was talking about, by not being able to do containment as well as we would have hoped to be able to do, and we now have 17 known cases in the county, of which about several are community-driven, it's no question that there's more out there. We're getting people requesting testing every day. We're having people who are sort of symptomatic with the appropriate symptoms that make you believe they're presumptively positive. But again, because we can't test them, we don't know. So the good news is that the mortality rate will probably go down, as we've talked about before, I think, where this the mortality rate is deaths over the total number of cases. And because there have been so few testing, and the testing has predominantly been on those with serious consequences or serious symptoms, the number of people who have the illness that we know about is small. So therefore, the death rate is higher than it probably is. So that's sort of the good news, that as we test more people that have mild or moderate symptoms or no symptoms at all, we'll be bringing down the death rate. But meanwhile, we don't have anywhere near in a approximation of what we are actually at right now. It would literally be sort of taking a crapshoot if I had to guess at how many people have been exposed.
I'm talking with Sacramento County Director of Health Services, Dr. Peter Bielenson. We have county labs, we have private labs. If someone feels sick, I think they still have to go through their doctor at this point to get a test. Sure. Can you give some guidance?
Correct. So there are basically two tiers of people. I think we actually have it as three tiers, but it's two tiers. Those who are tested at our public health lab, those are the 25 to 30 people a day that I've been mentioning. And those, again, are people who are healthcare workers who have been exposed to someone with the virus, or seniors or people with chronic underlying conditions who have serious symptoms. Those are the ones that get prioritized to be taken care of, to be tested at our lab. Secondly, there is some availability of tests if we take our swabs to Richmond, California, in that there's some availability of testing there, but not terribly much. And then finally, there's the new commercial lab testing that's coming online with LabCorp and Quest, which are major laboratory companies in the country, but they're coming on very slowly. And for example, the swabs that are taken in California have to be sent to Lumberton, North Carolina, at least as of a couple days ago.
Oh my goodness!
For LabCorp, which obviously delays a day on either side. So right now, the timeline result timeline for those who get tested in our county lab is 24 to 48 hours, but it's longer for the commercial labs. And you're correct that they have to be basically prescribed by a doctor who can then do the swab test himself, I mean, or herself. The swab test is very, the test for the coronavirus is very simple.
I'm going to add some breaking news in here. Los Angeles School District has announced that it will close all schools. And I don't have the details yet to the headline there, but that is their next step. Dr. Bielenson, have you had any second thoughts about stepping back from the 14-day quarantine in the county?
We've gotten some conflicting comments, but basically I think it's because people aren't aware of the whole situation. And that is, again, we would have quarantined more people who were exposed to those who had the illness if we knew who had the illness. So we've only been able to test 150 or so people. And so in order to do quarantining for people who are exposed to people who have the virus, you have to know who has the virus. So we were kind of hamstrung. That's what I was saying back in the beginning. And because of that, once the cat's out of the bag, if you will, then it's really important to mitigate, to be more surgical in our approach, which is trying to keep people from exposing seniors to the virus and keep seniors from being exposed to the virus through a variety of mitigation strategies, which we've talked about before.
And yet the two-week self-quarantine is still being pretty widely recommended. And it's not a bad idea at this point, is it?
No, and in fact, we're actually doing that to some extent. So we're actually, it was sort of a misnomer about the quarantine being called off. We actually do quarantine or self-isolate people who have symptoms that are potential cases but can't be tested, and we send them home to stay for 7 days until after their symptoms have started. So that's sort of a quarantine. And then we do the quarantine for healthcare workers who have been exposed to people who have symptoms.
All right. Down in L.A., 900 campuses serving more than 670,000 children and adult students. Schools will be closed as of Monday. They will continue meal programs and offer televised and online lessons to try to help families. Dr. Bielenson, a quick, very everyday question. What products work on this virus? We know soap and water is good with our hands. Alcohol-based sanitizers are good and cleaners. What about ammonia-based products?
So the two most important things are, because you want to do what's called self-distancing or self-care, are clearly washing your hands for 20 seconds. That's two ABCs, you know, two happy birthdays. And 60% or greater alcohol and sanitizer. Those are by far the two most important things that can be used for people. And then for cleaning surfaces, anything that's virucidal that kills viruses, so bleach, things like that work quite well.
Okay, what do you want to see happen right now? What's important to you?
Well, I think that the governor's large gathering edict, if you will, is where he's prohibiting non-essential gatherings of less than 250 people makes some sense. I think it's the idea now is to sort of call a timeout, if you will, to try and get people to stay home from whatever venues that they're coming from as much as possible. LA County, I know, just did the school closure. That may happen here, I suppose. But by sort of short-circuiting the infection for a period of time, we may be able to bend the curve downwards or flatten the curve, if you will, from the constantly rising cases and hopefully get a handle on things. And most importantly, keep the number of people coming into the hospitals and the emergency rooms who might need isolation rooms and things like that. Keep that from surging.
It's interesting that you said that, because that was going to be my last question. Where are we on the bell curve? Where do you think we are?
Well, if you look at our actual, so that's part of the problem, right? With the testing, we don't have enough. We don't really know. is sort of an estimate, as opposed to South Korea, where they have clearly, data-driven data, if you will, right? So our estimates are, what we're using kind of is California as a bell curve, because there's a greater number of cases. But we're certainly on the upswing, to put it bluntly.
I appreciate you joining us. I appreciate your patience with me as I asked you sort of the same question three or four different ways to try to get to the same understanding. But I think we're all in the thick of this conversation about testing, engaging where we are, and trying to adjust our behaviors. So the most important thing you did for us is be available and answer questions, and I appreciate that.
Thank you.
That is Dr. Peter Bielinson. Yesterday, we reached out to every major hospital we could be in touch with to get some guidelines, so I want to share some information with you. Kaiser, and this is from Michelle Gaskell-Hames, Senior Vice President for Health Plan and Hospital Operations, said, Kaiser is piloting a drive-up and other alternative sites for the COVID-19 testing, but this will still involve being evaluated by a physician, and then there will be a doctor's order and an appointment to arrive at an equipped testing site to just drive up in your car and be swabbed and complete some basic information. So if you're a Kaiser patient, stay alert to the website and watch out for that. Kaiser and Sutter Health are urging patients to use a phone or video visits with their doctors, and they are implementing triage lines. We'll try to include that phone number, which is 866-961-2889 for Sutter Health. And again, the hotline number is something that hospitals are trying to do. Dignity Health added that they have a screening tool and algorithms as part of the health record system to help clinicians evaluate who might be susceptible or have the virus. And they too, like the other hospitals, are limiting public entrances, are pre-screening patients and visitors, and limiting the number of visitors. All the hospitals are being extremely attentive to cleanliness and monitoring who comes into the hospital. As for UC Davis, we were able to record a conversation late yesterday with Dr. Dean Blumberg. So here goes. I asked him what his gauge of the situation and where we are right now.
Well, I could answer that in a couple of ways. So first of all, I think we're in a very good place in that we're ramping up testing. So I'm really pleased that we've got 18 labs now in California, public health labs, that are testing for coronavirus. And then we've got several commercial labs that we can utilize to also test. And we've been in the dark. And so this is going to give us some information and really shed light on the current situation and how much there really is in the community. So I think that's the good news.
Okay, you said you wanted to answer it in a couple ways.
Yeah, so then comes the bad news, which is I think we're still, cases are on the rise, and really we predict that they're going to be on the rise probably over the next 1 to 4 weeks at least. So we really haven't seen anything in terms of what we expect to see in terms of community transmission. We expect to see many more cases, many more severe cases and hospitalizations.
Can you give me a sense of this? Triple, quadruple, 10 times what we're seeing right now?
The problem is that since we haven't done widespread testing in the community, is we really don't know how much this virus has penetrated into different areas of California. So we really have no idea. The reported cases are just the tip of the iceberg. And whether the reported cases mean that there's twice as many cases in the community or 10 times or 100 times as many, I have really no idea because we haven't been doing the widespread testing. So I expect over the next week or two we'll get a much better idea of how prevalent this virus is in California.
The governor talked about reactants and components, automatic kits, partial kits. We probably need a description of what this test actually is. Can you do that?
I'll try. What it's detecting, most of the tests are swabs, so a nasal swab and or an oral swab. And then what the laboratory does is processes this in such a way to amplify the genetic material that's detected, specifically if there's any detected material related to this novel coronavirus. They'll amplify it until it's at a concentration high enough that they can detect it easily. This usually takes a few hours in the lab, 1 to 4 hours in the lab, and they'll then be able to report that as a positive that they detected the virus or negative that they didn't detect the virus. And so to do this, you need adequate the machines that automate the process. You need the reagents, the chemical reagents to perform this. You need adequately trained laboratory personnel, which we have. And you need all the materials to do the test to amplify the genetic material.
So if someone thinks that they need testing, can they walk in right now to a Quest Diagnostics lab or LabCorp lab and say, I'd like a COVID-19 test?
I don't think that they can do that. I think you need a doctor's orders for that. And we're not recommending widespread testing unless people need the test done. So we're not recommending that if somebody has a cold and they're otherwise well, we're not recommending testing of that person. We don't want to overwhelm the system and delay other critically ill patients. We want to make sure we get those tests back faster. So if somebody is sick, if somebody is having difficulty breathing, if they have pneumonia, if they need to be admitted to the hospital or into an ICU, we want to know what's causing that illness. And those are the type of patients that we are recommending testing for. Somebody who has a mild cold or cough and is otherwise going to be staying at home, we don't need to know whether that's because of this virus or another circulating respiratory virus in the community. It makes no difference for them. I understand that there's a natural curiosity to know if somebody has this or not, but if it doesn't make a difference in terms of somebody's care, then we really don't want to clog the system with a bunch of unnecessary tests.
You mentioned pneumonia. Is the pneumonia vaccine any kind of protection right now from COVID-19?
No, the pneumonia vaccine protects against different causes of pneumonia, not the COVID-19 pneumonia. It's still good for people to be up to date on that because you could get both at once, for example. You could get a double whammy, and so we'd want you to avoid that. Plus, if you get sick with the pneumonia that the vaccine could protect against, then we're not going to know what kind of pneumonia you have and then need to do the testing for that. So everybody should get the pneumonia shot if it's indicated for them, depending on their age and underlying conditions. But it doesn't provide any kind of cross protection to the coronavirus.
If someone feels sick at a time when their usual doctor's office is closed, let's say an evening or a weekend, what then?
Well, if they think that they're sick and they need medical attention, for example, they're not able to keep down fluid, so they're getting dehydrated or they're short of breath, these patients should seek medical care, and they can go to either an urgent care center or go to a hospital emergency department.
In terms of the med center in particular, for patients who would go to a UC Davis doctor, is there a particular protocol or procedure that should be known right now other than how they would typically call or use a doctor visit?
No, it's business as usual. So they should call their healthcare provider, and depending on if the primary care provider is available or the office is open, the healthcare providers should be able to answer any questions that people have, should be able to provide advice in terms of triage, whether patients should stay at home or whether they should come into the office the next day or if they should seek immediate medical attention.
In some of the worst or difficult case scenarios that are out there, the discussion is goes to hospitals being overwhelmed or healthcare workers being overwhelmed. The governor is giving the statewide view. Can you give me, from a med center perspective, the ramp up to what's coming?
Yeah, so there's all sorts of plans in place in case this does start hitting hard. And so these plans include making sure there's enough health care personnel, personal protective equipment, what to do if ICUs are full. So there's plans for all of that. And there's also plans then to maybe to cancel things that are elective that can be postponed. So, for example, there might be routine yearly physical exams that could be postponed for a month or two, or routine diagnostic screening tests that could be postponed, elective surgeries that could be postponed. So all those are on the table depending on how this hits.
All right. I hope that was some helpful information for you from Dr. Dean Blumberg. He is the infectious disease specialist from UC Davis that we often speak to. And some of the same information came from Dr. Peter Bielenson at the Sacramento County Department of Public Health. So everybody is thinking and working in the same direction. We're going to check in with Denise Morse in quarantine with her husband David at Travis Air Force Base. They were passengers on the Grand Princess cruise ship that docked at the Port of Oakland. Denise is joining us now by phone. Hello, Denise. How are you today?
Good morning, Beth. I'm well. My husband is well. We're waiting for breakfast. We've had our temperatures taken. They have a new protocol, which is a very big improvement. We're getting our breakfast, lunches, and dinners delivered to our door. We answer the door with our masks on. And then we eat in our rooms, and we're not told to eat in our rooms, but we do. And then our temperatures are taken in the morning when breakfast is delivered, and in the evening after dinner. So those are improvements. I think I've been downstairs once already to see about the coffee, to see what situation is. They weren't putting it out until the breakfasts were delivered. But one thing I want to say is, as I'm listening to the health experts, we have our supplies here are woefully inadequate. We currently don't have, we have one bar of soap that's, we might start using shampoo to wash our hands. We don't have hand sanitizers. We have in our room for our personal use. But I think the tools to mitigate this spread are not being given to us here in the facility. We don't have people wiping down handles, doors, rails, elevator buttons. Rarely am I seeing anyone wipe down anything. We aren't. My husband and I are. We carry a wipe with us. We will push a handle to get outside. We wash, we don't touch, if we touch a surface, we wash our hands. And that is what I don't think people in this facility are being told. We're not given enough information.
Denise, I do want to jump in here. Are you and your husband still healthy and symptom-free?
We are. I have a dry cough, but it's because I had it on the ship because of the air in these rooms. It's stale. When I go outside, I don't sleep, I don't cough. I haven't got a fever. My temperature's normal. I don't have any symptoms. I'm really not concerned that I have been I have the virus, but I will watch it. But it's just a dry cough.
Okay,
my husband doesn't have a cough.
I'm going to pause you there, Denise. As you can imagine, there's a lot happening today. And I do want to add to people that we reached out to Travis about the situation and some of the conditions you've described. They referred us to the Federal Health and Human Services Department and the CDC. We made multiple requests to talk with someone. We could not get someone to respond. I do appreciate these ongoing conversations, and you've been quarantined a couple days. You probably have more than a week still there. So we'll continue to check in with you, okay?
We will be here till the 23rd of March.
Oh, you know that date now. Okay, that's a new piece of information.
That's 14 days from when we arrived.
Okay.
We arrived on Tuesday.
All right, Denise. It's such a strange existence. You take care. I appreciate the conversation. And I'm sure everybody in Davis is holding down the fort for you. So,
yeah, we've got a great community. Thank you.
All right. Best wishes to you and David.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
again, I'm going to update you that President Trump is holding a noon press conference. We will carry that live. The statewide special that I'm going to co-host with Mina Kim from KQED will be at 2 p.m. today, an hour-long special. You'll hear from various experts, and we'll take calls as well. We're going to take a short break. Up next, and standing by, we do have Mayor Daryl Steinberg and Sacramento County Supervisor Phil Cerna on emergency measures that they are initiating in the region. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio.